People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe the Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of time to watch TV, but I have to admit, there's a show that I stumbled on one day that had me glued to the set, where you just sit there and you can't stop watching. Lock Up. Have you ever watched Lock Up? It is a gritty and powerful documentary series on MSNBC that shows what life is like inside maximum security prisons. One of the most memorable inmates featured on Lock Up is Eric Rinkles. He's a father of two who lives on Indiana's death row. In 1995, Eric was sentenced to death for the brutal murders of his estranged wife, his brother-in-law, and his sister-in-law. He gunned down his victims while five children were in the house.
In 1994, Eric Rinkles and his wife, Debbie, were in the midst of a nasty divorce and custody battle. Their disagreements grew so combative, Debbie got a restraining order, packed up her two young children, Seth and Lindsay, and moved in with her brother, Tony. Tony lived with his wife, Natalie, and their two young children, Kim and Matthew. Tony's teenage niece, Tracy, was also living there at the time. In the middle of the night, on July 21st, 1994, Eric Rinkles, dressed in camouflage, broke into his brother-in-law's home and, in a rage, shot and killed his wife, Debbie, her brother, Tony, and Tony's wife, Natalie. After a six-hour manhunt, Rinkles was arrested and less than a year later sentenced to death.
Eric Rinkles recently lost his final death penalty appeal and could be executed within weeks. We're going to talk to him from prison later. Three of the children, however, who witnessed those murders that night are here with us today. They'll see and they will talk to Eric for the first time since that trial 14 years ago.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Eric Rinkles has been living on death row for 14 years. He shot and killed his estranged wife, Debbie. He shot and killed her brother, Tony, and also Tony's wife, Natalie. Tony and Natalie's daughter, Kim, is here. She was in the house when Eric went on his rampage. She was 9 years old?
That's correct.
At the time. So you lost both your parents that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you remember about that evening?
Everything. I remember waking up, and Eric was actually outside of my door, my bedroom door, and standing over Debbie's body, saying, "Debbie, please don't die. Please don't die." And I remember laying there in bed, just petrified, waiting for him to leave. Mm-hmm. And then when he did leave, I got up out of my bed, and the only thing I could think of was, where was my brother Matt? And so I went through the house looking for him. First, I went to his bedroom, and he wasn't there, which scared me to death.
So your brother Matt at the time was 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And on the way to my parents' bedroom, I had to step over Debbie's body. And then in my parents' room, my dad was on the floor. And there was Matt in our parents' bed, hiding under the covers. So I got my brother, and we went back to our room. And on the way back to our room, Seth was just standing in our hallway.
Who is Seth?
My cousin,
which
is Eric's son. Mm-hmm. And he was 7 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was just standing there with this blank look on his face, like he didn't know what he was supposed to do. He was just... I don't know if he was in shock or...
Had you all been warned, or do you remember at 9 years old, was there a sense that your Uncle Eric was a danger to the household?
There was always kind of a tension there, but not until about 2 weeks before all this happened did I even, you know, realize that something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I say, whenever my Aunt Debbie and her 2 kids... My cousins, you know, moved in with us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Did I even realize that there was something wrong? Then I realized, oh, we can't go outside and play. We can't walk down the street, you know, unaccompanied. We had to, you know, basically hide out for fear that something might happen. And, you know, it was never like that before. Mm-hmm. We were always at their house playing. We were, you know, they were at our house. We had sleepovers.
Mm-hmm. And so... When this happened, what happened to you?
Well, after we were just sitting on, you know, in my bedroom on our top bunk, the police came to get us, and they took us all out. They covered my brother's eyes and my cousin Seth's eyes, and they told me to cover my eyes.
They told you to cover their eyes so that you wouldn't see the crime scene?
Yes, which thankfully I did, because it turns out... on my front porch was where my mom was at,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really glad that I don't have to live with that picture in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So they took us about a half a block from our house and put us in the back of a police car, just me, my brother, and Seth. And we were just sitting there, and I remember Seth was just sitting there just shaking, and my brother Matt suddenly just started getting sick, throwing up in the back of this police car, and no one was there with us. We were mm-hmm. just sitting there,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3 children just sitting there. No one was with us at all.
So Seth is 7, and your brother, Matt, is 3, mm-hmm. and you're 9.
Yes. Yeah.
And so your 3-year-old brother just started throwing up.
Yes, yeah. And I'm sitting there holding him with no parents, no adults, no one mm-hmm. with there.
Were you thinking something has happened to your mother as well?
That's when I began to wonder, where is everyone at? Why hasn't anyone come to get us? You know, where's mom?
Did you realize at that time that there had been, because you had to step over your Aunt Debbie, you said. So did you realize that there had been a shooting and that obviously she was dead?
I knew that Debbie and my dad were dead. I mm-hmm. knew for sure. I knew that I would, you know, I never would have them in my life again, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know where my mom was at
because mm-hmm.
I didn't see her. Mm-hmm. So...
It's so interesting because how does a 9-year-old, that's what's interesting about talking to you now, how does a 9-year-old process all of that when you realize your mom is gone, your dad is gone, your Aunt Debbie is gone?
This is where our parents are buried. My mom's over here and our dad's over here. It's been 15 years since I last saw them, and a lot of times it feels like it was just yesterday, and a lot of times it feels like it's been a whole lifetime. I usually come on holidays. I always come on their birthdays, and I always come on Mother's Day and Father's Day.
When I was younger, I'd walk over here and pick up as many pine cones as I could fit in my little hands. I'd just stand them up and stack them. That was my way of giving something to them.
When I was lonely, I would come
with a like an ice cream cone or something, and I would just sit out here and talk to my mom, have my own time with her, because every girl needs to be able to talk to her mom. So this is how I did it. I remember being very angry that they didn't get to see me go to double digits. I mean, that sounds so trivial, but it was a big thing to me then. It was, oh my God, I was double digits, and my parents weren't there for it.
When I had my first child, I didn't have a grandma for my daughter. Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know.
I remember being in school and making, like, Mother's Day presents.
Yeah.
Everyone was making their Mother's Day present, and I was making one for my grandma. All of the big, happy moments, like my graduation from high school. That was a big thing. I mean, and they weren't there. Me getting married, my dad wasn't there to give me away. I mean, I had a nice step in, but my dad wasn't there. He should have given me away.
Well, that was Kim and her younger brother, Matt, whose parents were murdered 15 years ago by their uncle, Eric Rinkles, who we'll be talking to in a few moments. Eric is on Indiana's death row and could be executed within weeks. He's watching us right now from prison. Matt was 3 years old when his parents were killed that gruesome night. And what do you remember about then, Matt?
Mainly just being in the room and seeing my dad and then going under the blankets, and after that, just not really remembering anything.
Not really remembering anything.
Yeah.
But Tracy, you were there.
Yes.
And you were 19 at the time.
Yes, I was.
Yes. So, Tracy, you are the niece of your Debbie's niece.
Yes.
So you were living with them at the time.
Yes, I had started staying with them.
Okay. So you were in this house that night.
Yes, I was.
Okay. And what do you remember as a 19-year-old?
As I remember, I was sleeping on the couch. Everybody was fine. Eric busted through the back door, and gunfire had already was coming from the bedroom. And then the last things I know is Natalie's running over to the couch telling me to get up. I couldn't get up off the couch. I was in shock. She said, "You have to get up." And I said, "But we have the kids." She said, "You have."
And Natalie is their mother.
Natalie is their mother. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Let's get to the door. Let's get out, Natalie." She said, she told me to go, but I wasn't leaving without Natalie. And now, at this time, we hear footsteps getting closer to us. And I was like, "Go, Natalie." And at this moment, she's in front of me. And I said, "Go." And she said, "No." And she put me in front and turned her head. And that's the last thing I know.
She put you in front, meaning she pushed.
She was protecting me from him because she said, "There he is. Go, you know, go get help." Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Natalie took the bullet that was meant for me. Natalie saved my life and gave hers up.
And you told my producers, because, you know, obviously at 19, you remember a lot more than a 9-year-old would, and certainly a 3-year-old would. But you said to the producers that a part of you died that night.
It did. Every morning, every evening, it's there. I live it every day. There hasn't been healing. I think about it. I think about Tony, Natalie, Debbie, and that night every day. Mm-hmm.
And so you never had therapy or?
No, ma'am.
Yeah. So, Tracy, you wrote to Eric in prison recently.
I did.
What made you reach out to him?
March 14th, I forgave Eric Rinkles for for killing my family.
March 14th?
March 14th, 2009.
You forgave him?
I forgave Eric Rinkles for killing my family.
And what brought you to that moment or decision?
It was time to start healing, and that's where I wanted to start from.
And what does that mean, forgive, to you? What does, when you say
forgive? I don't want Eric Rinkles to die. I don't want him to be on death row. I don't want him out of prison, but I don't want him on death row.
What made you not decide you didn't want him to die?
My faith. Killing Eric is not going to bring Tony, Natalie, and Debbie back.
Mm-hmm. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I hear that Eric recently wrote you, Kim. Is that true?
Myself and my brother, yeah.
Yourself and your brother, you and Matt. And what did he say?
That he was sorry. Mm-hmm. And that he could never repay back the debt that he owes us.
Mm-hmm. Can you read it?
I think so. Mm-hmm. It says, "Dear Kim and Matt, I owe you both a great debt, and I can never repay. I hope at least this letter will in some way convey my true sorrow and regrets and guilt to both of you for being the person who took your father and mother away from you at such a young age and made you both orphans. You were both always great kids and I'm sure now are wonderful adults. I'm truly sorry about what I did and how I affect both of you. I still hold a lot of love in my heart for you, Kim and Matt, and I pray that this letter eases your pain at least a little, and that you can move on with your lives and be happy, healthy, and at peace with things for the rest of what I hope will be long lives. Mm-hmm. God bless you both. Take care. And please accept my deep apology, shame, and guilt for what I did to you both. Eric Wrinkles."
And did that ease your pain?
Not really. I didn't expect it. I never expected a letter from him.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked for a letter from him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nice to hear that he's sorry. I don't know for sure that he is, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That night, he changed.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never ever again be my Uncle Eric. And as soon as he stepped through the door and pulled the trigger, he stopped being that man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a completely and totally different person, and I have no idea who that man is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I can trust him.
Eric is joining us from Indiana State Prison. His last appeal was denied this past May. He could be put to death by lethal injection within the next few weeks. So are you in the process of getting yourself right with God or right with your relatives and family? Have you been in the process of doing that?
Yeah, over time. It's mm-hmm. taken time, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so was that what the letter to Kim and Matt was about last year?
Well, you know, I like to say this before I go. I'm on the program here as not for any benefit to me or for the television, but for Kim and Matthew, Tracy, Lindsay, and Seth, and for them some resolution.
Some resolution.
And, yeah, so some sort. If they can find some in this, that's good.
That's why you wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was going on with you that night, Eric, that you shot and killed their parents and your wife?
Well, we'd had a nasty breakup, and I was pretty heavy to meth. And I was actually on my way out of town, and just when you're on methamphetamine, your brain is, I don't really know, you know, other than that.
So you were on your way out of town, but then decided to stop and stop by their house, their home, and because you knew your wife and kids were staying there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I went there. I wanted to get my kids and see them one last time because I didn't think I'd ever see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't to kill anybody, so that wasn't the motivation.
So if the motivation wasn't to kill anybody, how did three people end up dead?
Exactly.
Yeah. You had to be there. You know, it was my mistake. I started that whole series of events, and it ended up like that.
So I think part of... Eric, part of what the family has felt, just based on what I've read and talked over with my producers, I think what everybody has felt over the years is that you have used the drug methamphetamine as your excuse for these killings. Do you see that? Do you see how they could see that?
Yeah, to an extent, sure, but I chose to take the drug. Mm-hmm. It was my choice. That was my fault.
Right.
It stops there. That's it, you know?
Yeah. But my point is, do you hold the drug responsible or yourself responsible? Are you saying it's because of the drug that these killings took place, or do you take full and total responsibility for these murders?
Well, yeah, I take full responsibility for what I did, but I also is... we never had problems until the drugs, and it anyone that's done methamphetamine, it changes you, and not in a good way. But yeah, I take responsibility. It's my fault, and I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you just said that, Tracy's here. Tracy, who's
I am here.
Forgiven you, and as of March 14th, 2009. And Debbie and Tony's mother's here.
Yes.
And they both just dropped their heads when you said that, because obviously they think differently that there were problems before the methamphetamine. Tracy, what did you want to say? Go ahead.
I just want to say, Eric, it was before the meth. There's been years and years and years that you know that there was problems, and you know it wasn't just because of the meth. Are you truly sorry for killing Debbie and Tony?
I think you know that, yes.
Where did you have time to dress in the camouflage, Eric? There was guns in the truck. You had knives on you, dressed as G.I. Joe on a mission.
Tracy, I was going up to a friend's house in Gentryville to fish and hunt turkeys. That's where I was going.
Oh, my. Yeah. Okay. That is a lie.
See, I think, Eric, you know, I think what you were saying about your intention being here for the children and, you know, to sort of make peace with this regardless of what happens, I think that if you're going to do that, you're being completely, you know, honest with them at this point, because I think that's really what everybody is looking for. They're looking to hear the thing that makes some sense to them.
Right.
Because... as you can imagine, it doesn't make any sense that you're dressed in camouflage with a knife and a gun, and you and three people end up dead, and you say, but I was on my way to just say goodbye to my children. You can understand that, right?
Yeah, that doesn't change the fact, Oprah.
So,
I was going to a friend's house to get out of town so I could get away from the situation.
Dressed in camouflage?
And I had a backpack of clothes in my truck.
Yet you say, Tracy, you've forgiven him.
I do forgive him, and I forgive you, but I will never forget. You shot Natalie, you came out on the porch, and you almost got me. Natalie saved my life. I don't know if you remember that. Natalie had to save my life.
Could it be possible that you were so drugged on meth that you're not remembering accurately?
Could I be wrong in some places? Sure.
Yeah. Tell me this. Did you shoot Natalie in cold blood?
No.
Go ahead, May.
I'm madder than hell for what I hear.
You're madder than
They're
hell?
They're my children.
Yes.
Debbie, Tony, adopted them when they were small children. I raised this granddaughter right here when her mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing stories that I don't like. And... if you want me up there on the stage, I'll tell you.
Come on up here. Come on up here. Come right on up here and tell
us. Getting that 80 mark.
Yes, I understand. So, in your memory, what happened?
In my memory, he was abusive to her from the time they married.
This is long before this incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is leading up to it.
Did you know he was abusive to her?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
I tried. I went to the police department, prosecutor's office, trying to get him off of the street. You can't do anything until it happens.
Until it happens. Everybody knows that, right? Yeah. You can try restraining orders, but basically...
He has been tried by 12 jurors. He was sentenced to death row. And that's where he should go.
You don't think he deserves to
live? No, I don't.
Yes. Well, the family's divided because you think that he should live.
I do. Personally, killing Eric's not gonna bring back my parents. It's not gonna give me any closure. It's not. Him dying is just taking another life.
Right.
You want him dead.
He doesn't deserve to live.
Matt, you feel differently.
I just think he should be, just sit in jail for the rest of his life, and taking him's not gonna bring my parents back. I mean.
And what do you say, Mary?
I think he should stay in jail. He should not be given the death penalty.
What do you think you deserve for the crime that was committed that night, Eric?
I don't think my opinion matters.
It does.
So do you think that you have served enough time? Do you think that you paid your debt to society these 14 years?
You can't put a price on a human life.
True. True. So your son Seth is there. You were 7 years old when this all happened. Do you remember that night?
Yeah. Just like, remember like yesterday.
And how has that night affected your life, Seth?
You know, it's affected all of our lives, but, you know, what you can do about it, we're sitting here and grieve about it and all that, and you just move on and do the best you can. Mm-hmm.
Well, the family wanted to come here today to talk to Eric with the hopes of coming to terms with what had happened that night. Do you feel any resolution or?
Not really. I mean, I forgave him a long time ago. I let go of Eric a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. He's just not part of my life anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, he always will be there, but he is not part of me. I let go of that part a long time ago. I don't want to carry that hate or that. I don't want to carry that with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And is that because of the way you were raised by your grandmother?
I think it has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm.
So you raised the children not to hate him.
That's correct.
You did.
Yes.
And is that because of your faith or because of what?
It's because of my faith, because when you give things to God, God carries them, and he gave us peace. And if she's in heaven.
Right.
So I have a lot to be thankful for.
So what do you want to say to Eric?
Eric, I don't know that I've heard you lie. I don't believe any of your story. However, I forgive you, and God has given me that peace. And I hope that before you die, you get on your knees, and I pray for you, that you ask God for forgiveness, because that's where it's all at. And I ask everybody to write the governor to stop the death penalties, because we're not here to judge. You deserve to be in jail, but we don't want you to die.
Eric, what do you want to say to that?
I think that's very big of Mary.
Let me ask you this, May. Mary just spoke of the peace that she has. Kim talked about forgiving and the peace that gave her, and Matt, and Tracy said as of March 14th, 2009, she forgave him, and that she says that she forgave him so that she could begin to move forward. So I'm just asking you this, and listen, I can certainly understand how you feel. Is your hating him worth what it's cost you to carry that anger around? Because listen, whether he lives or dies, you know, what's important is for you, what happens to you. So is that anger, is that hatred,
I had gotten over this angry Oprah until this come up again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have sympathy for you, Eric. You've never said to me that you were sorry, never.
If he said he was sorry, would that do anything for
you? No, he's not sorry. He's not sorry for nothing he's ever done.
So Eric, you agreed to this interview today, as you said at the beginning of this conversation, because Can you finish that sentence?
To keep this from happening to anybody else. Look at these kids, you know, what happened to them and the family. It's awful.
What could have prevented this from happening to you?
There were so many things. I mean, it starts with my choice to do the drugs and my actions after that.
Are you saying this would not have happened had you never done the drugs? Do you believe that?
Yeah, I don't think it would have ever happened if I wouldn't have been on drugs, no.
All right, so this, Tracy, this may be the...
This could be our last time seeing you. And it's really hard, Eric, to sit up here and look at you. I don't hate you. I hate what you did.
I'm just, Kim and Tracy, Matthew, I am sorry. I hope the letters I wrote to you were sincere.
Whether you meant to do it or not, it happened, and it's today it still hurts like it was yesterday. But to all of us, not just me, to all the kids.
So, Eric, this is interesting that everybody here has said they remember it like it was yesterday. All carry this with them every day. So I'm just wondering how this has affected you. Do you live with the guilt and the shame and the pain of it? Does it pain you?
Yeah, it never goes away.
What never goes away?
The pain, the guilt, shame. There. It's always there, Oprah. At times it feels like a bad dream and you could rewind time, but you know, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You think you'll wake up one day and it just won't have happened.
Exactly.
And doesn't, you know, and it's, then you see the bars and you know it did.
Do you think about what your life was like before? Do you think about what you woulda, coulda, shoulda done? Do you think about your children? I'm trying to get a sense of, you know, 14 years in lockup.
Yeah, that's what keeps you going. I mean, I love Tracy and all the kids to death, and we did a lot of stuff together. And I ended up hurting them like that, and it's hard to reconcile that.
After the show taping, the audience and I left the studio. Tracy, Matthew, and Kim stayed to speak with their uncle Eric Rinkles, the man who murdered their Aunt Debbie, and Kim and Matthew's parents, Natalie and Tony. This was likely the last time they would see Eric before his execution.
No, you go first, Kimberly.
I don't really know what I want to say to Eric.
Maybe if you go first, you can kind of...
Say what's in your heart, Kim. Say whatever you want.
I really don't know. I don't know if you know this, but I don't feel like you should be on death row.
Yeah.
Maybe at first I was really angry, but I mean, I hurt, but I don't hate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know, Kim.
And?
You look so beautiful, look like your mother.
Thank you.
She does.
Thank you. But I don't know. I think that what hurts me the most is watching my family hurt, so.
Just remember the good stuff that you had.
Right.
With your mom and dad, and when we were together too, you know. Remember that stuff, not the bad times.
That's what I try to do. It feels like sometimes, though, that things are slipping away, like I don't remember them.
So. It's hard for me to remember Debbie too and the pictures until I saw them. It happens. Just remember them in your heart.
Yeah.
And when you go on their birthdays like you were doing, to honor them, that's the thing to do. That's why they're never forgotten.
Exactly. I do remember the good times, Eric. I remember many good times I've spent with you and Debbie. I wish you could see Matthew.
He's a good-looking young man.
Yes, and Matthew doesn't have much to say because he doesn't remember, so if you can just... tell Matthew one thing or to...
I didn't even know Matthew was there when that stuff happened in the bed. I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
Eric, are you sorry?
What I wrote you in that letter, that was since that took me 2 weeks to write that letter because I didn't know what kind of words I could give you, you know? It heartfelt to make you feel better, Kim.
It took me probably just as long to read it because I think...
Yeah, I can imagine.
It took me off guard, and I almost, reading it almost seems like it's going to make it so final. And
yeah,
I don't want you to die, because I don't believe that someone should just take your life. God gave you that life, and only He should take it. And you took something huge from me, but it's not right to just kill you. It's just not.
Well, you know what I think about Kamenslav is how you and the rest of you have forgiven me. You know how much character and heart that shows? You know how many people could do that? That just, you know, you ought to be that. That shows you what you're made of and what your parents gave to you.
I have to also think about...
You ought to be proud of that.
You're right.
Only, what, 34, Tracy?
Yes, I'm 34, Eric.
That's how old I was when I got locked up.
I know.
You got a long time to do whatever you need to do, girl.
I hope so.
With just a few minutes left to talk, Tracy, Matthew, and Kim wrap up their satellite conversation with their uncle Eric Wrinkles from death row.
Come on, somebody else.
I know.
Say it now.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know the date? Has it been set?
Not yet. And I'm probably 3 months past what I ought to have a date now. You know, you can't tell. You never, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not looking good, so.
I mean, that hurts.
That's all right, though. It's okay. What was that?
I'm trying to get Matthew to just...
I don't think Matt wants to talk.
Oh. Okay. Come on, Matt. You can say something you want to, buddy. Come on.
He's kind of shy.
He doesn't really... He was a kid, and he really a little sweet little kid, you know?
He was.
Loved riding with that Blazer with Tony in the truck. Loved it. We were trying to get him to where he liked to go into hunting and fishing with us and stuff.
Yeah.
He does now.
Do you?
He's just like his dad.
I bet he does. It runs in the family. Yeah. It's a good thing. I'm sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, he's the baby, and he knows it. But now, I mean, he has a beautiful daughter in the back. Beautiful.
Yeah, I bet he does. See both mom and dad in him. You know, he looks like Tony. And
he does, don't you? You see both of them.
Features of Natalie, too, you know, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he has
Kim,
a lot.
You got all mom, though, Kim.
Yeah.
She is. I mean, when she came out on stage,
yeah.
I mean, it was...
Looks so much like Natalie.
I never thought that this would happen.
Who would? I mean, you know, like you people sitting... I aspire to be on death row, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, I did.
I want to be a murderer, you know? Oh, you kids were really good kids.
Thank you.
Happy and good kids you were. And I'm sorry about what I did to take that away from you.
Is there anything else that you guys want to say?
Well, I guess not. I mean, what can we say?
You know how this is going to turn out, but if you all feel better and everything, I think that's it.
Eric, I'm sorry you took my parents and my aunt and yourself away from me. But I do forgive you for the actions. And if you're truly sorry, please ask God for forgiveness. Please do that.
I think this helped, too. I mean, it helped me. I hope it helped you kids, too.
We're done. Yeah. I think we're, yeah.
Be careful, you guys. I love you. Bye-bye.
Eric Wrinkles is scheduled to be executed by lethal injection on December 11th for the murders of his wife, Debbie, and his sister and brother-in-law, Natalie and Tony Fulkerson. Matthew and Kim still don't feel their uncle should be put to death. Tracy says she plans to be at the prison when the execution takes place. I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.